Well, good morning. It's good to be here. It's overdue for me to be here. But anyway, let me share with you a story. Back when I was in grade 8 in high school, shall I say that was in 1984? I was debating whether I should tell you the year or not, but anyway, 1984, I participated in the Billy Graham Outreach, or as they called it then, Billy Graham Crusade. Now, who's been to a Billy Graham Outreach or Crusade? Okay, there's quite a lot of hands there. And I bet there'd be even more hands if I said, have you been to any large evangelistic outreach? Anyway, this was a really big deal in my life in grade 8, because I volunteered not only in the choir, but also as a counselor. That was the youngest you could be a counselor for people who came forward to receive Christ at a crusade. Granted, it was a little bit intimidating for me. They tried to give me youth, but even when a grade 10 came, I felt quite intimidated that somebody as old as grade 10 would come to me for advice. But I attended every evening volunteering in that way. And if you've been to, and many of you have been to a crusade or an outreach like that, or if you've even been to any large gathering like a national MB conference or Missions Fest, it's incredible to be with that many believers, in that many Christians in one place. And I bet if I get a show of hands, I'd see even more for who's been in BC Place? Strangely enough, it's about the same number of hands, but okay. Anyway, if you could imagine BC Place full of believers, well, not all believers, because obviously some came to faith in Christ, but if you imagine BC Place full, that was just an incredible time. And what was especially moving is when all voices joined together in song. Okay, so if you could... So anyway, the climax to the meeting is the altar call. Now, some of you may not come from traditions where you even know what an altar call is. We don't do altar calls here at Clarney Park, not in my recollection anyway, where people are invited to come forward if they're going to make a confession of faith. They want to come to faith in Christ. And as a visible sign of that, they walk to the front. And so anyway, it's a tradition, or it was a tradition at Billy Graham Outreaches, to play the song that we sang, Just As I Am. And that, for me, was the climax, is the altar call. And if you could imagine, we only have two aisles here on this floor, and we have two aisles up there. But I bet there's hundreds of aisles in BC Place. And people are streaming down all of those aisles to come forward, some to counsel those who are coming forward and some to make professions of faith. I mean, that was moving. That was transformative for me. But here are some of the words. The words were so fitting for the call that was being extended to the people in that audience, in that stadium. Just as I am, without one plea. Or the next verse, just as I am and waiting not. You know, now is no longer the time to sit in the pews and maybe another day. Now is the time for action to come follow Christ. Just as I am, though tossed about with many a conflict, people didn't have to figure out all their doubts before they came to Christ. They could come to Christ with their doubts, with what little faith they had. Or just as I am, thou wilt receive. There's that open welcome, which was so wonderfully illustrated by Caleb getting into your lap there. The illustration of what God does for us and just wraps his arms around us. So people could come to Christ, and many of you have come to faith in different ways. You might not have come to faith through an altar call. I didn't. I came to faith quietly in my bedroom, saying a simple prayer because my Sunday school teacher had encouraged me that I needed to do so. But the neat thing is, just as we came simply to God, and I hope you came simply to God when you came to faith, there was no exam to pass. You know, there wasn't a minimum knowledge. Okay, yeah, you need to know that Christ died for you, but there's no exam to pass to come to faith in God. You know, his first step was not to give you a multiple choice exam, and you would fill it out, and hopefully you passed. There's nothing to prove to God. There was no progress you had to show him. See, God, see what I've done. Now can I come to you? No. Come just as you are. That's the beauty of it. Well, having come to faith to God in this way, I wonder how many of us have somehow complicated how we approach God. Is approaching God as simple as it was when you first came to faith? Was it as simple as this "Just I Am" hymn that we sang? Or have we complicated it somehow? Are we able to come to God just as we are? Or do we feel like we have to prove that to God that we've made some progress? See, God, I'm not a bad Christian. I've been trying to do my best to follow you. Now may I come into your presence? Well, we're continuing in our sermon series, looking at spiritual practices, guided by April Yamasaki's book, Sacred Pauses. And in fact, her chapter is called Praying It Like It Is. So today we're going to look at prayer, how we approach God, why we do it, when it happens, and most importantly, I think, what gets in the way? What stops us from praying? I think it's going to be somewhat lighthearted. It's kind of refreshing for me because I feel like last couple of times when I've shared with you, I've shared some things that are really deep and heavy on my heart, but it's going to be lighter today as we share. But I hope that you come away seeing that you might be missing out on something simple, something delightful and life-changing, or maybe something you haven't forgotten, but you can embrace in a new way. So I'm certainly not here to teach everything about prayer, but just some aspects of it. So in April's chapter, Praying It Like It Is, she describes going to a weekend retreat at a camp, just like Stillwood. She doesn't say Stillwood. I half wondered if she was thinking Stillwood Camp. But anyway, what was interesting about this retreat is when she arrived, there was this banner that said, "Come as you are." Now that's a great sentiment, right? Hopefully we have that imaginary banner at our church here every Sunday, hopefully. Come as you are. And actually, that's kind of why I wore shorts, you know, because I thought that would be fitting. Come as you are. But she was reflecting on that, and she realized, in terms of how you dress, how do you dress at a camp when you go to a weekend retreat? I want some ideas. How do you dress when you go to a camp like Stillwood and you stay the weekend? Casual. You got some suggestions? What sort of, you know, if somebody's going to pack their bag and they're going to go to a camp, what sort of things should they include in their bag? Okay, prepare for the weather. That's very practical, yeah. Comfortable. Tie? You need to leave the tie at home? Okay. Jeans, T-shirt? A hat, yeah. Yeah, I think this would be appropriate at camp. Partly because it hides bedhead, you know. Because you haven't had a chance to have a shower because the bell went and you have to go get breakfast and you stayed up late the previous night playing board games, so you're rushing off to get breakfast and you got bedhead, so you throw on a hat. And, you know, maybe you throw on some shades. And I don't think I'd wear a collared shirt. I think I would have left my collared shirts at home. If it was cold enough, you know, Stillwood is pretty shaded. There's a lot of forest. You know, you could certainly throw on a fleece. If I can get it on, yeah. I don't actually own a hoodie, you know, but if you had a hoodie, you could wear a hoodie. That's appropriate at camp. So she reflected on what if she wanted to wear a nice dress, or, you know, what if a man wanted to come and had a suit and tie? Could they just come as they are? No, I don't think so. Well, I mean, yeah, sure, nobody would turn you away, but they would kind of look at you askance, like, are you at the wrong place? Do you know where you are? You're at camp. All right, so I'm going to take this off, by the way, because it's definitely not appropriate right at the moment. It's too hot. But she reflected on the fact that there's not many places in this world where you can actually come as you are. There's etiquette. There's certain standards, expectations. The neat thing is, we can come to God, though, just as we are. We don't have to dress up. So in this, she shares about how in the Psalms, and we know it because we, as a congregation, we looked at Psalms. in the Psalms, we see an unfiltered, unabridged, unedited version of the psalmist's prayers to God and his thought life. It's kind of refreshing in that sense, right? Because we think that, okay, it's not, there's not a lot on that's formulas. I mean, there are formulas, but the psalmist really bears his heart before God. The psalmist expresses himself a praise to God, not only when things are going right, or you could say almost also not only when things are going wrong. I mean, how many of us run to God only when things are going wrong? No, he shares when he's happy, when he's afraid, when he's feeling helpless. He feels even bold enough to voice complaints and anger. You know, it's like this is the complaints desk. I'm going to share my complaints. I work in tech support, by the way, so I understand complaints. And he even voices a desire for revenge. Dash the heads of those infants on the rocks. You know, those there's some psalms that we'd kind of like to omit from our Bibles. Why have you forsaken me, God? How long, O Lord? So then we don't have to filter out our thoughts when we come to God. We don't have to come to God only when we think, oh, right, this, I'm now thinking in a way that would be appropriate for coming before God. Now I can enter his presence. In fact, God honors those who are humble and honest before him. We don't have to put on a pretense like we are somebody we are not when we approach God. If we had more time, I would draw our attention to the prayers, the parable of the prayers of the Pharisee and the tax collector. But some of you know that psalm, and you know how God, which prayer did he like more? The tax collector, who beat his breast, and I'm not even worthy to come before you, O God. So God honors the humble person who comes before him. Let me throw another question to you before I... Well, actually, what I was going to say is the key of the, and this is the first key part that I'd like to share with you and you to leave with, is first of all, you have to come to God. Okay, that's step number one with prayer. Sounds pretty obvious, right? Come as you are. Come. But then what? That's the second part. But first, before I get there, when you think of prayer, okay, and first of all, an instruction, you don't need to edit your answer, filter them, right? You can just share with me your thoughts, okay? This is not the right answers, you know, Bible, Jesus, God, you know, Sunday school type answers. Okay, so what do you think of when you think of prayer?
Kneeling,
okay, so referring to how you approach God, your posture.
Conversation.
Anything that comes to mind when you think of prayer?
Sometimes actually hearing God.
Hearing God? Okay. Listening?
Praising.
Oh, you guys are good. Nobody's saying boring. That's, you probably think that would be an inappropriate thing to say in a church service. Anyway, we won't get to that later. Good. Well, Robert Bondi in her book Memories of God said the following. I abandoned the notion that prayer is basically verbal petition and praise and came to see that prayer is sharing of the whole self and an entire life with God. Let me repeat the last part. I came to see that praying is sharing of the whole self and an entire life with God. Now, does that mean that prayer and petition are bad? That you should praise and petition? You should stop doing that. That's the point you should take away from this time together. No, of course not. I mean, Scripture instructs us to petition God, to intercede on behalf of others, and to do so repeatedly. And we're definitely supposed to praise God. But the point is, those are part of the whole. It's not to break it down to those components to say prayer is only petition, asking God for things. Prayer is only praising God and thanking him. Prayer reflects a longing after God. And we saw that in the psalm that Vanessa read. Thank you. Psalm 42. Where the psalmist imagined himself, or herself, if you like, as a deer panting after water. And that sounds, you might imagine that's kind of a romantic notion. Oh, it's so good to be in God's presence. Except the problem in that psalm is there was no water to be found. This was a prayer of desperation. Where is God? I want to be in God's presence. I desperately need water. So there's an element of desperation in that prayer that reflects the longing, but it was clearly a very desperate longing at that point. Now, I think it's a little bit more natural for all of us to come to God in prayer when we're desperate. But surely that's not the only time we got to come to God. I hope not all of you are desperate all the time. If you are, then maybe prayer comes more easily for you. I don't know. But here is another verse, and which is 1 Thessalonians 5:16 to 18. Rejoice always. Pray without ceasing. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. So this is instruction. Three things. Rejoice always. Pray without ceasing. Give thanks in all circumstances. And I'm going to focus on that second item. Pray without ceasing. Again, that sounds like a romantic notion, but I mean, let's be real. We don't live in an ideal world. Who can pray all the time? Pray without ceasing. How do you wrap your head around pray without ceasing? In the NIV, it says pray continually. But I like to pray without ceasing. That means you never stop. I mean, maybe monks can do this. Can the average person pray without ceasing? Now, I'll tell you a verse that I like more, but it's easier to digest, you know. Ephesians 6:18 says we should pray at all times. Ah, that's not so bad because, you know, I can pray in all sorts of different circumstances. That I can do a little bit here, a little bit there, a little bit, you know, at work, a little bit at home, a little bit at the church, a little bit walking down the street. I can do a little bit here, a little bit there. That I can grasp. But praying without ceasing? I mean, why does God give that to us? Is that just a lofty ideal? And if you could just get a, just do a little bit of that, that'd be nice. Or, you know, maybe that's just something that happens in heaven. You know, maybe that doesn't happen here and now. But let's consider what it says at the end of the verse. It says, Paul says, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Okay, I think we're supposed to follow this now. Now, why did God give us that instruction? Or why do we receive this instruction? Now, if we just look at the first part, this is the will of God. This sounds a little bit like, you know, some of us who are parents, when our children have asked us why we should do something, and we just say, because I said so, right? This is the will of God. You know, yeah, why do I do it? I don't know, God told me to do it, and, you know, just do it. But I think there's a little bit more to that, because this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. And I think when you hear that whole phrase, I hear something a little different than just because I said so. I hear, I've got a great plan for you. This plan is tied up in the person of Jesus, who you've come to know and love, and it's for you. It's a plan for you. So this rejoice always, pray without ceasing, give thanks in all circumstances, it's part of a wonderful plan God has for you. It's not just another chore that you have to add on. Oh, brother, I've got to pray without ceasing. As a young man in eastern France in the 1600s, Brother Lawrence's poverty forced him into joining the army. That's something I didn't realize until I'd always heard about Brother Lawrence. I didn't realize he was in the army originally. But then he got injured, and he had a religious experience. Anyway, he ended up joining the monastery, and for the rest of his life, he lived in this monastery, doing very simple tasks, like serving in the kitchen and fixing people's shoes. But in speaking of what it means to practice the presence of God, he said the following: we should establish ourselves in a sense of God's presence by continuously conversing with him. And then he had a strong word to say to us. It was a shameful thing to quit his conversation to think of trifleries and fooleries. Okay, there's a bit of old English in there, but the point was, it's a shameful thing to quit his conversation. So here's the second main point of what I'd like to share with you today. Not only should you come to God, you should never leave. You should never quit his conversation. You should start that conversation, if you're not already in conversation, and then never stop. But he acknowledges that it's not always easy. I mean, this is something that didn't just come to him with a snap of the fingers. He said, to form a habit of conversing with God continually initially required some diligence. Sounds like work. But later, and here's the good news, we would find his love inwardly excite us without any difficulty. And this is, I think, one of the promises that spiritual practices have that, okay, might seem like a little bit of work up front, but it has huge payoff. He could enter into conversation with God, and it wasn't a chore. The love of God inwardly excited him. It had become a delight. So, the rest of what I have to share with you is mostly my imagination. How is it possible for me to enter into continuous prayer with God? And I'm sure you can, after today, you can wonder yourself, how is this possible? How can I make this a practice for me? But one of the things I've worried about is, what am I going to say? I'm going to run out of things to say to God. I mean, I got my wish list, and I've got how many things do you praise God for? I'm going to run out of things to say. But it's helpful for me to think of conversation with other people and learn from that and apply how I talk with other people to how I talk with God. In fact, it's helpful for me to, as an illustration, to think of prayer as like a child telling a loving parent how their day is going, their joys, their struggles, their observations, their questions. And if that picture doesn't help you, that whole loving parent thing doesn't work for you, try, you know, a spouse or a good friend, a confidant, and the type of conversations you'd have with them. You know that praying in this, seeing prayer this way, it's a little bit like storytelling. In fact, isn't quite a bit of our conversation telling people stories? Now, this time, of course, God is the audience, and okay, one of the strange things about telling stories to God is he actually already knows them, but that's okay. He still wants to hear the story anyway. And I think he smiles and chuckles when you tell a story. So storytelling is one thing that might help you as a practice. It's been helping me. And storytelling often does orient around humor and laughter, especially when you're recounting a shared experience with those who were there. You talk about an event that happened with other people who were there. And, you know, of course, God was there. Whatever story you were sharing, he was there. So you can share with God in that way. So let's give some examples. And I think of this storytelling, you know, in the corporate world, you often think of this storytelling happening around the water cooler, wherever people gather. Or at our company, it's maybe the espresso machine. That's where people would gather, and you share your stories there. And I like to use the phrase, I've been doing this a lot, use this phrase, remember when, and finish the phrase. Remember when. So, and I think I got the story right this time. So with Jen, so remember when you used the mixer to stir up that natural peanut butter? You know how it separates between hard and you get the... You tried to use the mixer, but then you lost your hold on the peanut butter, and peanut butter was everywhere. And you know that can elicit the type of discussion like, oh yeah, it was dripping down the down the fridge and down the cabinets. Oh, was that a mess to clean up? Gotta hate natural peanut butter. Or another one. How about this is from Jen and I. Remember Jen when we first met and I took you biking, mountain biking, and I took you down a trail that was closed for mountain bikes? Oh yeah, I thought you were this big Christian and everything, and here you were disregarding the sign. Or how about that time, that first date, I consider the first date really, when I invited you to the art gallery? Yeah, but the art gallery was closed. I know. Yeah, I'm sure I didn't really impress you with that, but that's okay, we enjoyed ice cream together on Robson Street. It was good. So I'm going to give you two other examples and how you might turn them, how they could help you in prayer. So here's another example. Again, you might, and again from my life, okay? So when we get together as a larger family, on my side of the family more so than, I don't think we tell the story on your side of the family, Jen, but remember when Dad spilt red wine at the wedding reception? Oh, yeah. And he spilled it twice. He cleaned up, and then he spilt red wine a second time. Oh, and the pastor was at that table. Oh, he was so embarrassed. Well, here's how I was thinking how you could turn it. You can even share that with God, okay? But here, I was turning this into prayer, saying, God, that was such a wonderful time. That wedding was awesome. You gave me such a gift in Jen, and you were so there. Was God there? Oh, yeah, I felt he was very much there at a wedding. And it led me to be very thankful to God. Thank you, God, for that wedding. Thank you that, okay, some small things went wrong, but overall it was a wonderful time, a time of celebration of our friends, and even our family members who didn't always get along. There was no mishaps. Praise God. They all talked to each other. They didn't talk to each other, but they didn't get any fights, as far as I know. I don't remember there being any fights anyway. And here another Remember When story. Okay, I was part of an accountability group that with some other men from different churches. The women also got together. And every summer we would do something together. Well, one summer we tried to go canoeing. The emphasis is on tried. We tried to do a canoeing trip. I had successfully done this one before. But anyway, we started in Hope. The plan was for us to enter at Hope in the Fraser River and go down toward Mission. Except we didn't make it more than 100 meters before we capsized the canoe. So the discussions that have come up again and again, every time we get together, is remember that time when we went canoeing and we capsized the canoes? And somebody will always say, and Chris, the very first thing you said when we came up is, how's the Settlers of Catan box? Is it okay? Because we'd taken strategic board games along. Anyway, but how you could turn that into prayer, remember when? With God, I turn that into, thank you, God, for those men, how they shared their lives, they poured their lives into me. They were honest before with each other, and they prayed for me. So my challenge to you is to try, if it helps you, use remember when. Complete the phrase when you pray with God. God wants to hear the stories. He wants to reminisce, and it's a chance to praise him and thank him. My question for you, can you imagine God smiling when you share those stories with him? Can you imagine him laughing? Actually, can you laugh in God's presence? Have you ever laughed when praying? Try it out sometimes. Prayer doesn't have to be so serious all the time, which is a relief if you're going to pray with God all the time, you know, because it would be a shame to have to be so serious all the time. Well, here's another challenge. When I talk with other people, you know, I'm looking for clues what they might want to talk about. I just don't want to rattle on and on. If they're not interested, how do you know what God wants to talk about? I mean, he doesn't give you any clues by verbally telling you anything. Of course, we have Scripture, so that's one big key. We hear from God through Scripture. We hear from God. Creation speaks. We see God's beauty and him speaking through creation. And you might even hear promptings of the Holy Spirit. Maybe God's prompting you something, so maybe you are hearing. But the good news is, no matter what, you can't be wrong in choosing a topic when it comes to talking to God. He wants to hear about it all. Okay, so I'm trying to think here if I was supposed to ask a question. I don't think so, not yet. I think that's later. Anyway, so here's one big thought. It's turning thoughts into prayer. Do you know that you don't have to have any thoughts that are not prayerful thoughts? So I rushed ahead a little bit. What I want to say is I want to share just a few thoughts on prompts for conversation, or what I like to call conversation starters with God. If the last thing was a kickstart, how to kickstart your conversations with a remember when, here are some conversation starters with God. And by the way, these are for you, not for God. God doesn't have any problem with the conversation. You're the one who has the problem, so, or I do. So anyway, turn your thoughts into prayer. So another example, and this one's from Jen Sherry. She's taking an HR course right now, and you might recall in school having to give a group presentation. It's a real pain because you have to rely on the other people in your group. Okay, well, one of her group members was a no-show. Last minute, said, sorry, can't be there. Well, he was supposed to present on one aspect of the, and the professor required everything to be presented. So if I was Jen, I would have probably been stewing over, oh, I hate the fact that I'm paired up with somebody like this, and what am I going to do? But if you turn it into prayer, you can say, God, why did you have to pair me up with somebody like this person? You know, and God can turn that around, of course. He said, you know, I know something about him that you don't know, but it's not for you to worry about him. Don't worry, I'm going to help you with that presentation. It's going to be a great presentation. Okay, God, still wish you didn't pair me with that person, right? So you can turn any thought into a prayer. And you can share your needs, your dreams, your disappointments. Otherwise, in general, just observations about the world around you. Even news. Read the newspaper prayerfully. Turn every news article that's going on into a prayer. Observations around the world. God, that's how you made those trees, all those leaves. What attention to detail. And you care about those things. You care about me too. Well, I want to rush things along a little bit, and we can certainly ask God questions, even though you might not get an answer. But you can try the, God, what do you think about blank? And you might be surprised at what answers you end up coming up back with, right? Okay, so let me ask a question. If we're supposed to never quit his conversation, what stops us from staying in conversation? This is the part where I want to prompt you for an answer. Okay, so what are some of the things that would get in the way of praying? The phone rings.
Things need to be done.
Things need to be done. Yeah. A long task list, chores, right?
That's good.
No crises. So nothing to talk about really with God. I got nothing on my wish list at the moment that's really pressing. Well, sin gets in the way. And the easy answer to that is you confess it quickly, right? It doesn't have to come. It will come between you and God. I mean, if we do things that displease him, we'll fall out of fellowship with him. But the easy thing is we have to come back and say, God, I'm sorry I did that. And keep short accounts. That's the encouragement to me. Along the same kind of lines as distraction. So the curse of the wandering mind or spiritual ADD, you might want to call it. I even had that this morning. You know, I was praying with God, and I prayed on my knees, and then I started thinking, worrying about the Locarno Beach. Yeah, I'm supposed to lead worship for Locarno Beach, and how's that supposed to work? And, oh, right, I'm praying to God, right. Well, you can turn that around. So, God, I don't know, I trust the details with you on that Locarno Beach thing, but, oh, wow, I pray that we'd have this really great celebration in nature, and that other people would be around, they'd hear you. So, well, unbelief can get in the way. And Job struggled with that. But the one thing that I want to leave with you is boredom. And I know I like how none of you shared that you get bored when praying. That's great. But in case you do, you know, and you want to spice, my encouragement is to spice things up. And Kenneth, you mentioned praying on your knees. So you might want to change your posture. Maybe even if you normally pray sitting down, stand up. Walk. Go for a prayer walk. You know, I think sometimes we think prayer is for like a dark room. You know, you got to take out all stimuli. And you might think, wow, that's awfully boring. You know, but go for a prayer walk and react to the things around you prayerfully. Engage your mind and emotions. Well, I want to talk about just a list off a few applications and then conclude here. My question to you, a couple questions for you to think about. Do you see prayer as a chore? Something for you to reflect on. I'm not going to answer that. May God transform that for you. Challenge to you, invite God into your thought life. Turn thoughts into prayers. And in a dedicated time of prayer, just if your mind wanders, no big deal. Just invite God along, right? Or say, God, I'm back. Sorry about that. That was me. I was distracted. I'm here again. Ask yourself, is there anything you feel uncomfortable sharing with God? Or is there a part of your life that you're not unwelcome to invite him into? In which case, the Holy Spirit probably has something that needs to say to you. So in closing, I want to share this quote again. Prayer is sharing of the whole self and an entire life with God. You know, continuous prayer is an opportunity for all of us as Christ followers to fully enter into an unbroken and rich relationship with God. The challenge is to come just as you are and come often. And once you're there, don't leave. Come and don't go. Once you start praying, don't let anything interrupt that ongoing conversation with God, because a continuous conversation with God is what God has planned for you. Are you up for it? Let's just join me in closing in prayer. Oh, Lord God, we want to acknowledge our need for you. Even if we're not desperate, we know that day in, day out, every hour, we need you. And this praying to you all the time is an acknowledgement of how we need you. We need to be in relationship with you. But this seems very daunting, praying without ceasing. So we pray for your help, that we might enter into this more, that this prayer would not just be a periodic event for us, but that we would live prayerfully, always in your presence, because this is your will for us in Christ Jesus. And we know the plans you have for us are good plans. So we pray for your help, and we give you praise and thanks. We are looking forward to walking with you throughout this upcoming week. In your name.